Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KP Report. My name is Corey Fleck, along with Chad Markwitz. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition. We're going to be covering a lot of the moves in the markets. Unfortunately, some downward moves that we are seeing again in markets and metals, as well as some of the macro factors that I think we all need to just understand what continues to drive these markets and why the Fed might keep on hiking. But again, that still just continues to be a moving target. We are kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, I want to start with a quick recap of this Q3 earnings season that we are still fairly early on in. We've had a number of banks report, and those overall reports have been much stronger than estimated or anticipated, as well as even Netflix, as we're recording this. They came out with an earnings report that was a bit better than analysts expected. This flies a little bit in the face of a lot of what we were hearing early on this year, and honestly, even right before Q3 earnings season, where a lot of analysts were saying this will be the earnings season where companies really start to get hit, and even companies were warning before this earnings season that, look, things are getting tougher for them. It just seems like this economy doesn't seem to be falling flat on its face as quickly as some of the other commentators think it will. Jesse, what's your takeaway so far from this Q3 earnings season and how it ties into the bigger picture for the economy in the U.S.?
Yeah, well, I was one of those people that have been, you know, warning about an earnings recession due to a number of factors, you know, whether it's, you know, small business surveys that point to deteriorating margins, or just, you know, the macro factors of rising dollar, rising interest rates, rising oil prices is usually a good 2-year lead on, corporate earnings. And so that also suggests too that it takes time to play out, right? We're seeing those macro dynamics really scream that, you know, earnings recession is coming, but it does take, you know, like I said, it's a 2-year lead, so it takes time. I think, you know, what the banks are saying is the consumer is still really healthy. They don't see any, you know, I think that's kind of the consensus we're hearing from CEOs and CFOs right now is that they really don't see any signs of a significant slowdown just yet. Consumers, you know, the banks have pointed out consumers still have cash in their bank accounts, more cash than they had pre-pandemic, and plenty of credit available. And so I think, you know, the pandemic fiscal stimulus is still having an effect and bolstering consumer finances. At the same time, I think, you know, it's important to point out that companies, we've seen, my friend Jonathan Tepper has pointed out, he wrote a book a couple years ago on the topic of, you know, the concentration across industries in the economy. We've seen it, you know, not just in tech and the massive, buyouts. You've seen, like, you know, Google and Facebook and companies have literally made dozens and dozens of acquisitions every year, consolidating the industry. But in every industry, we've seen this. And so that consolidation dampens competition, and it means that it's possible for these companies to raise prices probably more than they otherwise would be. So I think that's also part of what's going on here. With inflation running so hot, companies are able to raise prices, and, you know, paired with the lack of competition, able to raise prices pretty much at will so far. Especially, you know, with healthy consumer balance sheets, there hasn't been a ton of pushback so far, and their costs have not risen quite as fast as the top line growth. And so that's kind of helped margins to, stay relatively strong. In fact, incredibly strong so far. But I do think if you start to see weakness at the top line, consumers start to push back and costs continue to stay high, that's when you have to start worrying about margins. And it's maybe a 2023 story.
Jesse, it's interesting you say that, because what we heard at the beginning of the year and even at the end of last year was that the consumers were in trouble because their credit card debt was going up. They were living off home equity lines of credit, that they were eating their savings. But if the banks are reporting that there's more cash in their bank accounts now than pre-pandemic, and the consumers have been amazingly strong, look at the retail numbers to prove that. The question will be, at what point do they feel the pinch? And if it's a next year situation, do you think it's going to be tied into wage growth?
Well, we're seeing wage growth hit, 5-6% year over year. It's still below the inflation rate, which is a problem for consumers, right? Negative real earnings growth is not a good trend, and it's why I think we are seeing people, the lowest end of, the consumer spectrum really struggle with rapidly rising rents and, pay rising not fast enough. I can't remember which bank it was. It might have been JP Morgan or B of A pointed out that with the trend, consumer finances are deteriorating. They're strong, but they're trending in the wrong direction for these reasons that, we discussed. And it's probably, becomes a problem around the middle of next year when they start to run down savings or start to hit the limits of, the credit that's available to them. And, so that's why it's interesting that other things, indicators that we might look at suggest, that second, third quarter next year is really going to be probably the peak or the worst of the economic decline that lies ahead.
Jesse, how does this all filter into the markets? Because we continue to see this trend of a very orderly bear market for almost everything. The dollar has stayed relatively strong. Bond market has followed the rest of the markets, which means that yields have continued to creep higher. It's all been orderly. If we do reach that point, say mid next year, is that when a crash comes into play? Do we need to deal with another 6 to 9 months of tough, orderly bear market action?
Well, I think right now we're, to me, the macro fundamentals are still very bearish, right? We haven't, valuations, essentially, I think there's, we're probably going to have two phases of this bear market. This first phase, obviously, fundamentals haven't deteriorated. The story of this, the first part stage of the bear market is just rising interest rates, rising dollar, these types of things pressuring valuations, and valuations coming down from whatever it is, 22 times earnings to 15, 16 times earnings on the S&P. And that's just repricing based on what interest rates have done. But the second half of the bear market, or second phase, is probably going to be this fundamental deterioration. If we go into recession, if we go into, see a decline in earnings, a significant decline, which I think is probably ahead, the next phase of the bear market is going to be driven more by that fundamental deterioration. And, it could be just as painful as this first stage. The thing that, I look at right now is that as fundamentals aren't deteriorating as rapidly as bearish sentiment might indicate it should be. And at the same time, there have been over the last couple of weeks a lot of tactically bullish signals for stocks. I mentioned sentiment has become really, really bearish, positioning very bearish. We've seen so much volume in put options. There's also the seasonal factors too that come into play, not just annually, but also around the midterm elections. And so there's some bullish, kind of short-term dynamics that need to play out over the next couple of months and could help stock prices see another bear market rally in the short run. But I do think the bear market's not anywhere near over just yet.
Well, you're not alone in thinking that, Jesse. A lot of people still believe this bear market is going to continue, probably through the end of the year. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report.
Jesse, let's play the scenario here where the Fed does eventually pause, whether it's after the next meeting, whether it's two or three meetings out, and they pause. That's it. They don't start cutting rates right away. They want to see how these generally higher rates filter through to the rest of the economy, to the markets, in that environment where investors have an option of receiving yield on treasuries and on their savings. Will that more directly hit more of those growth tech stocks? Will investors be searching more for value?
Well, I think, yes, this paradigm shift is huge. But the other, you know, thing I would point out, and that Paul Tudor Jones didn't necessarily talk about it specifically, but others have, is that inflation is a policy choice. Inflation, you know, when debt gets as high as it's gotten, like over 100% of GDP, you need inflation to, you have to inflate away the debt. That's what is going on right now. And I think that was the, you know, implied message from the Federal Reserve when they said, we're not going to target a 2% ceiling on inflation anymore. We're going to change our policy to shoot for a 2% average, meaning we want inflation above 2. That was a huge sign coming from the central bank saying we need inflation above 2% and we're going to tolerate it. So I think we probably will have higher nominal rates for the next 10 years, but real rates are going to have to remain negative for a long period of time. And I just mean the nominal rate's going to have to be below the rate of inflation. And that's how we're going to address the debt problem. And so in that environment with negative real interest rates and a policies that, you know, a central bank that is you know, right now pretending to rein in inflation, but still maintaining a deeply negative policy rate in real terms. You know, I think it really changes. It's a 180 degree shift. What you want to own in this environment is exact opposite of what you want to own for the past 10 years.
Well, Jesse, in addition to the higher rates that we've seen trending all year, the other big mover in the market has been the stronger U.S. dollar. And part of that's in relation to the very weak euro, yen, and pound. And they've all had challenges. But right now, the dollar continues to be the wrecking ball hitting a lot of sectors. And it seems to be the one safe haven asset everybody's piling into. Do you see that theme changing at all in the near to medium term?
Absolutely. I think we are very close to a dollar peak. I've been a dollar bear for too long and looking for a reversal for too long, you know, to be honest. But we've seen in the last 2 weeks, we've seen two magazine cover indicators for the dollar. You had first Business Week put out, you know, the dollar can't stop, won't stop ripping higher. The cover, you know, was a dollar sign just blasting through other currency symbols. And then you had Barron's run their own, the super strong dollar, where you had a, you know, super buff, basically George Washington on the dollar bill. And so, you know, these two publications are usually really, really good at timing, you know, major turning points for these things. I mean, I'm sure your audience remembers, you know, was it 2-3 years ago, Business Week ran the Is Inflation Dead cover with the dinosaur, and, you know, the deflating dinosaur. And that was a perfect contrarian indicator for inflation, right? From that point on, inflation started ticking up and has only continued to accelerate higher. So to me, I think sentiment towards the dollar has become way overconfident, way over bullish. I mean, all the fundamentals point to reversing dollar. It's about as overvalued as it's ever been versus all of its, cross currency relationships. You know, a lot of the fundamentals, trade and these things have rolled over hard. And so the dollar to me is close to a major turning point. It's going to take not necessarily a Fed pivot, but a Federal Reserve starting to talk about a pause. I think as soon as you start hearing the Fed back off the hawkish rhetoric at all and start talking about a pause, you're going to see a reversal in the dollar. And that's going to have important implications for every asset class.
Let's also talk commodities because, look, we've talked a lot about precious metals, and as bullish as some people have been, well, precious metals have been under pressure just like the markets. Energy has been a bit of a standout this year, although it has pulled back from some of its highs. But a lot of what I'm reading about the oil market in particular is that, look, with the U.S. continuing to tap into their strategic reserves, that is not sustainable, and that market is still very tight. Natural gas is also pulled back from some of its highs, but a lot of people are expecting the winter season to pick up that demand. What are you most excited about when it comes to the commodity sector?
Well, I did put out a blog post last week from, you know, all of the long-term, any way you want to look at commodities. We are in the very early stages of a new commodities super cycle. Most simplistically, just look at the price chart. You know, look at 100 years of, you know, the Bloomberg Commodity Spot Index. You get these decades where it trades sideways and then it breaks out to a new high, and that's about as clear as a signal you'd ever want that you're into a new bull phase. And that runs for, you know, about 10 years plus. And so what we've seen is the commodity spot index has traded sideways for the last 10 plus years. This year it broke out to a new high and it's testing that breakout right now. And so I think to me that's a very clear sign just technically that you want to buy dips in commodities. Fundamentally, you'd also just, you know, look at the fact that commodities are still dramatically undervalued relative to financial assets, relative to stocks and bonds, and the way that, you know, CapEx has worked for the last 8-10 years, we've had massive underinvestment in virtually every commodity there is. That creates the supply constraints that are making oil prices shoot higher now. The oil price collapsed in 2014, and since that time, the investment in the sector has dropped dramatically. It became taboo and last year to literally like banned to invest in fossil fuels. To me, that's so bullish for prices. You can't be, because, you know, if you're not investing in new supplies and demand is not going away, price has to go higher. So that's the dynamic that's going to drive commodities for the next, you know, 5-10 years. So I think the oil price is the one to pay close attention to right now because it's so closely tied to inflation. And to me, I'm looking at this administration and they're desperate to do whatever they can to keep the oil price from screaming higher. We've seen, you know, the largest release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve we've ever seen in history. It's like 10 times bigger than any release we've ever seen. We're back down to the lowest levels since it was created 40 plus years ago. Yeah, that's a one-time supply response that is a bullet that can't be fired again. And with diesel inventories right now, the lowest since in almost 100 years, you're going to see problems.
All right, so still bullish energy then I take away from that there, Jesse. Understandably so by what you've pointed out. Everybody listening on the radio, if you want to hear this full interview, please visit our website or podcast. Click on that weekend show posting.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. The Democratic-led January 6th committee subpoenaed former President Trump on Friday, a step that is unlikely to compel Trump's testimony before the panel dissolves at the end of the year. The subpoena gives the former president until November 4th to produce documents and sets November 14th as a deposition date. President Biden is addressing the U.S. economy from the White House Friday. The president promotes his accomplishments regarding job creation and economic investment in the United States.
10 million jobs created, a record for any administration at this point in the presidency. 3.5% unemployment, 50-year low, 50-year low. 700,000, nearly 700,000 manufacturing jobs created, with companies investing billions of dollars to build industries of the future here in America.
This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. Looking more at the macro environment, and hey, I do appreciate Jesse outlining just how much longer some of this market strength and economic strength has actually gone on for, longer than a lot of people have expected. We're going to shift focus a little bit in these final two segments, more individual sectors that we're going to focus on, and some short-term trading strategies as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, first things first, I want to talk about the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar continues to show strength. We've known that that's been the story behind these markets, the strong dollar and rising rates this whole year. And as much as the dollar seems to go through one or two day kind of pullbacks, those seem to continue to be bought. And as we're talking, dollar's trading right around that 113 level. A lot of people have their eyes on that 120 level, but we do need to understand that the dollar hasn't been this high since around the 2001 to 2002 region. Dana, do we get another push higher in the dollar from here? And do you think 120 is possible?
Yeah, it's certainly possible, Corey. The trend is certainly relentless right now, and you don't want to fight the trend unless you have an overwhelmingly compelling reason to do so. We always want to be on the side of the trend. So we are long. We've been long all year. We have taken profits along the way. We're still looking for just above 115 to take some more money off the table as we continue to go more or less approaching parabolic, which in terms of the currency markets, those don't tend to be sustainable. As you know, it's more mean reverting, but we'll maintain a long position until the trend demonstratively reverses itself and stop out the rest of our position. But we've taken profits along the way. 115, I said, we'll take some more profits. And certainly that area outlined around 120, 121, which was a high back in about 20 years ago, that'll be another area to expect maybe a pause or maybe the end of this, at least this cyclical up move.
Yeah, Dana, the dollar has certainly been one of the stories of 2022. It's been about king dollar, and it's been a crowded trade. Another story this year, though, that relates, and it ties into all the financial tinkering from the central banks, is what we've seen in interest rates this year and in the bond market. And as we record this, you know, the 10-year is about 4.22. The 2-year is at 4.6. We still have yield curve inverted. But what's your outlook on the rates and outlook on the bond market?
Sure. And we've talked about this for the last few years. We are very bearish on Treasury bonds for the next several years or even decades. There's been a pretty consistent cycle going back hundreds of years in interest rates, about a 60-year cycle. And it bottomed. It topped out, obviously, in the early 80s, was due to bottom out really over a decade ago. Downtrend in yields was prolonged until a couple of years ago. Our guess was that the lows reached that blow off top in bond prices and drop in yields in 2020 around the COVID lows was probably the end of the super cycle in bonds or that long term cycle in bonds. So if the cycles if the history of cycles is to repeat, we're probably going up for decades to come. So from a longer term perspective, yeah, we'll be tending to lean on the short side in bonds and with an upward bias in bond yields for many years to come. And we've been short for much of the year. Now, that said, there are junctures along the way that, like I mentioned, the dollar, there'll be junctures where you might have a compelling reason to expect the counter trend move, and we think we're about at that juncture right now.
Dana, do you continue to see, at least in your models, that this yield curve remains inverted?
Yeah, and that continues to be the trend as well. We don't see any reason, any evidence to suggest that that's going to end imminently. You know, those are other things that tend to be cyclical, so that's not going to be the case forever. Right now, I don't see what ends that, at least the inversion of the curve. What I did allude to was the fact that from a long-term perspective, we are up into some resistance levels, for example, in the 10-year and 30-year, that would suggest to us or give us enough evidence for us to take a counter trend bet on the bond market right here. For example, if you go back to the top in the early 80s and the 10-year and 10-year yields up around 16%, the first real significant Fibonacci retracement level would be that 23.6 retracement from that the top in the 80s, early 80s to the bottom in 2020. And that would be right around here, just above 4%, maybe about 4.10, 4.11. So we're shooting above that marginally here. Might certainly the trend this strong, it's not unusual for it to overshoot, but it would not shock us. In fact, we are playing for it for the rise in yields to at least take a breather here for a while. Even if we're correct in our bearish view that yields do go up for several decades or at least many years to come, it won't be a straight shot. And we're betting right now that at least we get some sort of a pause, some sort of a pullback in yields, which may alleviate some of the pressure in the financial markets. Maybe what it does to the yield curve, not sure. But we are taking a small bet on the bond market for a counter trend rally, at least.
Well, Dana, as far as the general markets, the strong dollar and the raging yields haven't been a friend. They've been a headwind. But we have seen things like the S&P break further down and break that June low now, make a new lower low. That was something you were calling for and looking for based on your models. How are you seeing the general market set up at this time? Do you think they may be geared up for at least a short-term bounce, or is there more pain to come?
Yeah, it's been a tricky couple of weeks because we were looking for an undercut of those June lows and then potentially a rally, at least a short-term rally. And that might still be in the works right here. Would not surprise us to try to attempt at least a short-term rally. You got a number of things in the bull's favor right now, including a test of those June lows. Combine that with some sentiment readings that are, especially in the options market, where hedging activity is pretty much off the charts historically, and that's a real world. That's not like sometimes the surveys can be less than helpful, but when you have a real money indicator like out of the options market where we're seeing tons of hedging going on, that's a real money gauge that indicates, okay, if we do start selling off, people are hedged right now. They're not going to start having to sell everything in their sell their entire portfolio. They're not going to get maybe as much margin call activity as you've seen during parts of the sell-off that we've seen. So that'll be some sort of a cushion against an immediate sell-off right here, which gives an idea. And combine that with some seasonality, some positive seasonality in around here. That gives us enough evidence to wonder if we might try to mount at least a short-term bounce. But like you mentioned, we are expecting, after whatever bounce attempt does transpire, we are expecting another down leg to this bear market once that bounce is over. And because from a long-term perspective, and I talked about this on another show this week, from a longer-term perspective, the risk that was embedded in the market at the beginning of the year reached historic levels. And despite the pain that we've seen in the markets, and some of the risks come off the table, we've just barely scratched the surface from a historical perspective in terms of removing some of that excess, removing some of that risk from the system. So there'll be bounces along the way, but there's a lot more pain to come, we believe, before this down cycle is over.
All right, Dana, we're out of time for this segment. Having you back on next segment, though, so everyone stick around.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you have brain fog or loss of short-term memory? Do you suffer from symptoms of hypothyroidism or adrenal fatigue? Do you have deformative joint disease or candida overgrowth? All of these symptoms are associated with mercury toxicity. Most of the mercury toxicity comes from having had gray or silver-looking dental fillings. It does not matter how old the mercury filling is, it still off-gasses 1,000 times more mercury than the EPA considers safe for human exposure. Just replacing your mercury fillings with non-toxic material is only the first step. Unless you apply an effective detoxification protocol, then your body is still poisoned with mercury for the rest of your life. Green Metal Way supplies the precursor to making glutathione. Glutathione is the number one mechanism for removing mercury and other toxins from the body. Order Green Metal Way and get my free report, Mercury Detoxification That Works. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are, you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons. And Dana, at the tail end of last segment, you mentioned that you have noted that investors are well hedged. I guess that makes sense, considering it's been a bear market all year, and the main narrative behind this bear market really hasn't changed. Higher inflation that is helping the Fed or forcing the Fed to continue to hike rates. Have we seen this environment in the past in other bear markets where investors are this largely hedged? And do you think that that limits washout risk in terms of waterfall declines from the market?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. This is more or less a short-term phenomenon. We've not seen like full-on capitulation. These are hedges. These are not people giving up and throwing their hands up and dumping their entire portfolio. Like I said, this is adding hedges in the short term, which cushions the blow. Like you mentioned, prevents maybe that immediate waterfall type of decline. The other thing it does is, if we do get a bounce off of here, off of these the tests of those June lows, we get going a little bit to the upside. All those puts that are on, all that hedging activity that's put on, is going to be have to come off. So you're going to see a lot of short covering activity. You're going to see people, especially retail, chasing each other to get out of that, and eventually FOMO will kick in again, and then the cycle will repeat. You know, once they're unhedged for the most part, then they're at risk again for another decline, and that's when the next wave of the selling probably comes in. But in terms of full on capitulation, we haven't seen that, I don't think, and we've talked about this all year. During a true grind you out type of a bear market, you don't really see that capitulation until the end. People, investors tend to think that these are just short term moves down, and once this wave is over, we can start the next bull market. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. It's going to be the case where, you know, you have these shorter term cycles where they hedge at the wrong time. Then FOMO kicks in again, and the wave, the cycle repeats itself. So only after probably, you know, I would say years of this activity will they eventually, you know, throw up their hands, and true capitulation will set in. Then you could have maybe the conditions in place for a more sustainable bull market.
Such a great point, Dana, because for a dozen years, all these traders have known is buy the dip. And that's the only strategy that they've deployed. So they still will have that strategy until they finally are broken during the course of the bear market as it plays out. But when you dig into the individual sectors, when you look at things like tech or retail or consumer discretionary, consumer staples, healthcare, does anything stick out to you as a contrarian sector to play for the upside? Or is there anything that looks particularly ugly to you to the downside that you'd be shorting?
Well, on the long side, if you are looking for those counter trend type of bounces off of the lows, you're going to look for, you know, the things that have gotten beat up the most. So in that case, it'd be like tech and consumer discretionary and growth. The tricky thing is, from a longer term perspective, those are the areas that you want to avoid. You know, from a longer term perspective, you're certainly not buying those for any type of relative strength, or any type of, with the expectation that it's going to be anything but a short term bounce in terms of true relative strength. We talked about a couple weeks ago, I thought utilities was the one sector that was, shaping up for maybe finally, one area of the market, that might break out and, put in a move to new highs. That rug got pulled from under the sector and from us in particular. So right now, I would say no, which is indicative of a true bear market. There's really no place to hide in a real bear market, and I guess energy is probably the strongest, most strongly positioned sector right now. But even that, I don't have much confidence in, you know, putting your money in and expecting any sort of protection if and when the market as a whole does turn lower again. So from right now, everything from our perspective is just more or less of a trade duration, not like an investing type of a scenario.
All right, Daniel, let's talk about energy because, look, oil has been a little bit weaker here. It's definitely off of its highs earlier this year, up around $125 a barrel. But, look, it is still showing a little bit of strength. It bounced off of right around that 80 level, trading in the more or less mid-80s right now. We continue to hear quite a few bullish calls, especially for oil, but the energy sector broadly. How are you playing this, and do you look down, do you filter down into some of the oil stock ETFs?
Yes, certainly we do. We'll go anywhere that where there's opportunity. So we've been in some of the oil names throughout the course of the year. Right now, we don't have any oil or energy exposure. We do think commodities started a longer-term bull market over the last year or so. So we do think there's much more upside there. However, it's not like anything. It's not a buy and hold type of scenario for us. In fact, we think there's probably another counter trend move lower. We think we see new lows here below the prior lows over the last few months across the board in the commodity space, including crude oil. So we're not bullish. We'd be still selling rallies in commodities into any strength in the near term, much as we would be in the equity market. So I guess the difference is probably after that next wave down, we'll be more apt to put some money on the long side in commodities than we would be into certainly into equities.
Well, Dana, I guess that would carry over into the metals then, that the way you'd be looking at copper or the precious metals, but still I'd like to get your thoughts on how you see, in particular, the precious metal setup.
Sure, and we've owned gold for most of the year. Had a good line in the sand, we thought, in GLD. Of course, we trade for our clients just ETF, so trading GLD and silver SLV. We've been long gold for most of the year. Our line in the sand was 158.5, and that level broke a couple weeks ago, I believe. Came back, bounced up to test it earlier this month, failed decisively. Now we're pushing new lows again. So right now, I would wait on getting back into gold and GLD until probably down around maybe take another stab at that 147 level. If that doesn't hold, then you're looking at probably, you know, the mid 130s again in GLD. As far as silver is concerned, 1740 was our line for SLV. We took a couple stabs at that, held for a while, couldn't get any upside momentum going, failed there about a week ago. So we dumped that one. That one's got, we think silver's got downside to low 16s and SLV maybe, I should say, an SLV. And then if that can't hold, then you're looking at probably 14 and a half or so. So, and then you have the miners, which have also failed to hold support spectacularly. And actually, we've initiated some shorts in the miner space just this week. If you're looking at GDX, I believe 25 and a quarter was the line that we were hoping would hold. Did not hold. So, you know, when the facts change, so does our investment posture. So that failed there a couple weeks ago or last week. So now we're short GDX, looking for a move down towards about 19 and a half. Then we'll reassess.
All right, Dana. Wow. Not great news for the precious metals. But again, this is the market that we are dealing with. Continued weakness across the board. Are there any other sectors that you are playing on the long side right now?
Like I said, outside of just short-term trades, not really. You know, we're it's a renter's market right now, and we would know we certainly don't want to overstay our welcome. We get a quick pop in some positions. We're happy to take some profits and looking for. Certainly, there is more upside potential in the short term, but if we fulfill that, like I said, we'll be happy to take profits and remain defensive.
Okay, Dana, really appreciate your comments. Thank you, as always, for sharing your outlook on a wide range of sectors. You have been pretty much spot on throughout this bear market, and even when we were in a bull market. I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this weekend show, and everybody who is tuning in, thank you for spending some of your weekend with us. Dana, again, thank you very much for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
All right, take care, guys.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.